Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and we will catch you tomorrow when Matt Boyd makes his major league debut. We're keeping an eye now on the Red Sox and Tampa Bay Rays. It is a 3-3 tie as they play in the bottom of the eighth inning, two out, and Tampa has a runner on first against Junichi Tozawa, who pitches really well against every major league team except for the Blue Jays. If the Red Sox should win that game, the Blue Jays will be one game out of first place in the American League East. Here on June 26th. And that's pretty good news. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays talk is upon us. But before we get to the phones, I mentioned before that it looked as though the Toronto Maple Leafs were trading the 24th overall pick. And with a Sportsnet NHL draft update, let's head down to Sunrise, Florida, and here was the announcement.
We have a trade. Toronto trades picks number 24 to Philadelphia for picks number 29 and 61. 24 for 29 and 61, Toronto to Philadelphia.
There you go. There's Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, with the announcement of that trade. So the Maple Leafs move down five spots in the first round, and they wind up getting the first pick of the third round. So, well, that's a pretty swell trade, I would say. We'll let you know who the Maple Leafs take with that 29th overall pick as we continue. And, of course, the NHL draft continues on Sportsnet. Here, Blue Jays talk, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat up on the Texas Rangers 12-2. Matt Boyd will make his major league debut tomorrow as this series continues, and the Jays look to hand the Rangers a seventh straight loss. Rob Rasmussen, who pitched the ninth inning today, has been optioned back down to AAA Buffalo. Blue Jays don't need that third lefty in the bullpen now that Brett Cecil's not the closer anymore. You still have those two left-handers in Cecil and Loop to work your way through. So Rasmussen gives up an infield single. Well, no, a rocket single that got through Ryan Goins. And he's headed down to Buffalo to join the Bisons. To the phones we go. Andrew is in Burlington, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome aboard. You're the leadoff man on Jay's Talk.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Another awesome performance tonight, and like you said before, the offense is absolutely incredible. They're definitely a fun, entertaining team to watch, and like you said before, enjoy the ride because it's been a fun ride, that's for sure. And what is it, 17 wins in June so far?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, and I was calling to talk about Kevin Pillar, and I know that during spring training, you know, this is a guy that you highlighted in a couple times, and you said you were really impressed with his approach, his off-season, his approach during spring training, and to, you know, expect some maybe big things in the season, and obviously that's happened, and my goodness, this guy continues to impress me, and I really think that the month of June, he kick-started it back in, I think it was early June when the doubleheader, when he hit a couple homers off Max Scherzer, looked like that game was going to be somewhat questionable until he stepped up, and I think he kind of started the ride here.
Yeah, but everybody's hitting Max Scherzer, right? I mean, getting home runs off him is no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. But, that game looked like it was over until he stepped up. And I definitely think, you know, that kind of kick-started it because ever since then, you know, obviously he's been on a tear with his plate appearances. His defense continues to amaze everybody. I think I saw a stat tonight, Mike, that 14 defensive runs saved. It's third in all of MLB. I don't know what the team record is for a Blue Jay, but he seems to be right up there. You know, he just continues to impress me. He's, you know, it's a complete game, right? All-out defense all the time. The way his approach at the plate lately, he's smart on the base paths. And, you know, I just really love watching this guy play. And I know that you kind of alluded, like I said, back in spring training that, you know, expect something special this year. And, man, I'm so happy it's playing out, especially when we think back to a year ago around this time when he got demoted for his little outburst, you know?
Yeah, very, very little outburst. Look, Kevin Pillar has hit everywhere he's been. He's hit, and he's hit, and he's hit. And I've reminded people of this dozens of times, and I probably talked about it in the spring too. He's got a career batting average over 300 at every single level of the minor leagues. And in May, you know, I thought, well, maybe this guy is. He just doesn't translate because he had such a terrible May. But he's come back and he's hit close to 400 over the course of the month of June. He's on this 10-game hitting streak where he's hitting close to 500. And he's playing the hell out of center field. And it's just so much fun to watch him every single game out there in center field. And, you know, I don't say every single game lightly. Kevin Pillar has played in 74 of the Blue Jays' 75 games this season. He and Josh Donaldson lead the team in games played. So he's been fantastic. And, yeah, the hitting two home runs off Scherzer, I mean, it wasn't that game looked lost before he did it. It was that they lost the first game of the doubleheader that day 2-0, and they went into the second game, and everybody thought, oh, well, they just got shut out by Jordan Zimmermann. Now they got to face Max Scherzer. But that was a good game start to finish. And, look, since that day, when Kevin Pillar hit those two home runs off of Scherzer and the Blue Jays beat the Nationals, the Jays are 17-5. And so that absolutely did kickstart this.
Yeah,
and he's continued it and had a phenomenal June.
Unbelievable June. And, you know, to steal your words, hell of the defensive play that he's playing. And he's doing a lot of those amazing catches on artificial turf, right? He has no fear. He lays himself out every night in the Rogers Center.
Yeah, this stuff's pretty soft. But, yeah, I mean, he has no fear of diving, no fear of walls, no fear of rug burn, no fear of anything. It's just a lot of fun watching Kevin Pillar play defense.
Not bad for a 30-second rounder.
Exactly. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it a lot. It's true, a 30-second round pick, and nobody expected Kevin Pillar to get to the major leagues, period. Never mind to get here as quickly as he has. And, you know, we went into this season, and everyone and his mother was telling you Kevin Pillar's never going to hit in the major leagues. And then we saw May happen, and, you know, even many of us who believed. And I believe that I made a friendly wager with one of the producers here on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, that I said I thought Kevin Pillar would hit at least 270, might have been 275 this year. And I remember that gentleman calling me about a month ago to gloat about winning the bet. And, well, you look at Kevin Pillar right now. Kevin Pillar, 2-for-4 today, continues this incredible month where he's hitting, again, close to 400 for the month. And he's raised his overall batting average to 272. Now, he's not walking. He's never going to walk. And that's fine. When you play the level of defense that Kevin Pillar plays in center field, you can hit 270 with a 310 on base and be just fine. Better than that. And that's what Kevin Pillar has been for a guy who, again, was supposed to be the Blue Jays' fourth outfielder this year. Dom Pompey's supposed to be the starting center fielder on this team. And he's working it out right now in Double A. We will continue to take your calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, sportsnet.ca/590. On the second audio stream, because the NHL draft is on that first stream. So dial us up, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Ball hits a deep center field, should be deep enough to score Colabello. Martin has it and will just flip it back in as Colabello comes in to score. Sack fly for Russ Martin. 9-2 Blue Jays. 12-2 was the final. The Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers, and I don't know why I didn't say at the time that it was Martin flying out to Martin, because that was kind of cool. Blue Jays talk is upon us at 416-870-0590. *590 on a cell, long distance, is 1-888-666-0590. Updating you on the NHL draft, a couple of Canadian teams making picks. The Winnipeg Jets took Jack Roslovic a center from the U.S. under 18 team with the 25th overall pick. And the Montreal Canadiens took Noah Juulsen from Everett of the Western Hockey League, a defenseman, with the 26th overall pick. The Maple Leafs are 29th, so they are a ways away, and when they do make their pick, we will fill you in. And, of course, when we're done, Sportsnet tonight with Roger Lajoie at 11 o'clock, everything you need to know about the NHL draft, and probably a lot of things you didn't even think you needed to know about the NHL draft. If you want a source for draft-eligible players, for junior hockey guys, for all that stuff, Roger Lajoie is just about the best there is. So after Jay's talk, stick around, and we will have tons of information about hockey and such for you. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Greg in Toronto. Hello, Greg.
Hi there, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I just had a quick comment and a question. First and foremost, I can't get over how the Jays bats are playing this year. It's really incredible to watch. And I just wanted to kind of ask, with feels like the starting pitching's coming around, the bats have been there all year. Like, how do you feel about our reliever situation? Like, do we have the relievers we need to push us into the playoffs, in your opinion?
Oh, I think they can make the playoffs, yeah. I do. Would it help to get more in the bullpen? Sure. Absolutely. You know, but do you need it in order to win the division? No, you don't. This offense is so good that your pitching only has to be okay. And the pitching has definitely been okay. There have been a few blow-ups, and they resonate, and they're terrible. Not a lot of fun to watch. But, hey, look, they just won a 1-0 game in 12 innings on Wednesday.
That was an incredible game.
It was. And if Roberto Osuna is going to be a closer, and if Steve Delabar can pitch like he did both at the beginning of 2013 and for the most part the way he's done this season, you got Brett Cecil a little bit farther back, Aaron Loop, Liam Hendricks, and who knows about what Bo Schultz can do. He's going to be interesting to watch too. So I think this bullpen is good enough. If you bring in a starting pitcher and move Aaron Sanchez back there, then the bullpen becomes that much better. And you got Asuna and Sanchez as a 1-2 punch at the back. That could be pretty awesome. I know they're working on trades for starting pitching, so we'll see. But yeah, I do think that this team is good enough.
Well, thanks a lot. That's really all I had tonight, but it's been really good insight there, so I appreciate it. Thanks
all
for
right.
my call again.
I'll take it. Thank you. Appreciate the call. We'll get to another call in a second, but before we do, let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 12-2 win over the Texas Rangers. Well, we got a little technical difficulty action, but that's okay. We will get John Gibbons for you shortly, and while we work out the little bugs, let's head out west to Chilliwack, B.C. Daryl, welcome to Jay's Talk.
Hey, thanks, Mike. It's a real thrill to talk to you. I'm a big fan out here in B.C.
Yeah, thank you, but it's not that big a thrill. I hate to tell you.
I listen to every game that I can. I'm a long-haul truck driver, so I listen in on
excellent.
I'm serious. Yeah, so I've been a fan of Blue Jays way back, late 80s. Then the Army decided in its infinite wisdom to post me out into Ontario, so I became a hardcore Blue Jays fan way back then. So all having said all that, I've never been to a Blue Jays game. And it's always been my big dream to go and see the Jays play in Rogers Center. And so instead, my first ever Jays game will be upcoming when the Jays play in Seattle in July. I'll be going to the Sunday game.
Awesome.
So my question, I want to pick your brain real quick, if you don't mind. What does the guy do? Do I get to the park early? Can you go see batting practice? Would I have a chance to get autographs? Maybe meet some Blue Jays announcers? That'd be kind of cool.
Well, I'm probably not going to be there. I hate to tell you, unfortunately. But Jerry and Joe are generally are wandering around on the field before the game. So are Buck and Tabby. I don't know when the gates open at Safeco, to be honest with you. I assume that for a Sunday 1 o'clock game, the gates will probably open at 11 or so. So get there and you'll be able to see the Blue Jays take batting practice, because the road team does take batting practice later than the home team. So if the Jays take batting practice, sometimes they don't before day games, you'll get to see that. And you get to experience that ballpark, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, you'll have a great time. It's like a home game. It really is. And on a weekend, it's going to be incredible.
A lot of us come down from BC, and I drive past Safeco Field like twice a week. So it's easy to find, right off the I-5 there. So it's going to be a real big thrill. I mean, the only other I saw a Triple A game, the Ottawa Lynx, way back. I got to see Jeff Reardon pitch. So he was on a Triple A assignment out there. So that was pretty cool. But this is going to be the big thrill. My son, hopefully he'll get a lifelong appreciation of the Jays.
Well, and hopefully you give us a call after the game too. After that game, I would love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
When you see the Jays in Seattle. Thank you so much for the call. I really do appreciate it. It is definitely amazing to go see a Blue Jays game in Seattle. And if anyone has the opportunity to do that, really try to do it, because it's like a home game. It is a gorgeous ballpark. You walk on the concourse behind home plate, and you can see Mount Rainier in the distance, which is incredible. And the Jays are in Seattle July 24th, 25th, and 26th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, second weekend after the All-Star break. And who knows? They could very well be in first place by then. They're a game and a half out right now. Red Sox and Rays are tied 3-3. With two out in the bottom of the ninth, the Rays have runners at second and third, and Joey Butler at the plate. So we're keeping an eye on that one. If Tampa wins, Blue Jays fall back to two games back. If Boston comes back to win, the Blue Jays and Orioles would be one game out of first place in the American League East. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590, and we will get to our next caller in a second. But now, let's give it another shot. Here's Blue Jay skipper John Gibbons.
How's Eddie's left shoulder?
Pretty good. And in reality, that's probably the only thing you notice about that game tonight, wasn't it?
What do you like about Boyd? What do you hear about him?
He's a good pitcher. He's got a bright future with the organization. He's been pitching well. You know, he's dominating down Double A, a couple starts in Triple A. He's looked really good. So why not? You know, give him a shot. Let him run with it. See where he goes. He's one of us, you know.
John, the way Burley's been pitching this year lately, and the way the offense has been going, you know, when you give up a solo home run in the first inning, you guys just think, you know, it's going to take a lot more than one to beat us right now.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, he was good. You know, he gave up those two scratch runs early in the game. You know, we, you know, got the big grand slam from Eddie right off the bat. Then we just kept adding on, and that's, you know, we've been doing that all year. You know, it's not easy. I mean, we've been making it look easy to do, but it's not that easy. And then Burl, he settled in, did a nice job, you know, did what he's typically been doing the last couple months. So, you know, it's you always feel good when he's out there, because, you know, he's going to be throwing strikes and there's going to be action in the field and things like that. So, yeah, a real good ball game all the way around.
Gabe, you'd mentioned the other day in Tampa that it's been a while since this team had a laugher and a lot of high-tension games. What was it like for the team to, you know, get one where, you know, you're pretty much in control start to finish?
I mean, those are always nice. You need those every now and then. But to be honest with you, you know, until you get a nice, comfortable lead, you really never feel safe in this ballpark. You know, you get a couple guys on, you get a ball airborne. It could be a home run, and next thing you know, they're right back in it. So it's never really a comforting feeling here. it's kind of the same way, you know, in our whole division, the ballpark. So, but yeah, we play. I mean, really swung the bats well and got the good outing by Burrell, and you know, we're playing good baseball right now.
Getting back to Encarnacion, how would you describe the season he's had to date?
I mean, he's having a good, solid season, but, you know, he really hasn't caught fire like we've seen him in the past, and I think he will. You know, he had that incredible role last year in May, and then, of course, he hurt his leg and things like that. But, you know, I think and once he does, because, in my heart, I believe it's going to happen, you know, that just makes us, you know, damn, that much stronger, you know. But he keeps battling, you know. He's been a little bit banged up himself. That never helps. But you know, every time he steps in the box, I mean, he's got a chance to burn you deep, you know. And that's not a good feeling on the other side.
Gibby, what was your impression of Travis's first game back?
Richard, good. I thought he looked really good. You know, first at bat, productive at bat. Productive guy in second, got him over. Then the base hit. And he popped up, and then, I think the last time he struck out, you know, late in the game, it might have been a questionable call. But, he really looked comfortable in there. A couple nice plays defensively. Yeah, he really looked like he picked up where he left off, but he's healthy now, you know. You know, getting back to the big leagues, that can give you a jolt, too. You know, I mean, even though he hasn't been around long, he's down there in the minor leagues, you know, getting his at-bats. But now he gets back up here, and it kind of gives everybody that shot of adrenaline.
Gibbon, you hinted at a pregame, but – if Boyd pitches well tomorrow, could he, in theory, take this job and run with it while Sanchez is out, or is this more just a one-time look-see while you guys figure out what you're going to do with that spot?
Yeah, why not? You know, if he pitches well, you know, hey, maybe it's his time. And then, you know, Sanchez's back to throwing, but he's, you know, I don't know how long he's going to be.
So there's John Gibbons, and that's interesting. Matt Boyd's going to get a shot. And, again, that spot will come up four times now between now and the All-Star break. Matt Boyd is pitching tomorrow. The Blue Jays are part of 17 straight games, so he'll pitch tomorrow. He'll pitch July 2nd. He'll pitch July 7th, and then he'll pitch July 12th. The fall goes well, and that July 12th is the last game before the All-Star break. So four of the next 17 games to start against the Rangers, the Red Sox, the White Sox, and the Royals. And who knows, if he takes the ball and runs with it and he pitches well, then maybe when Aaron Sanchez comes back, he goes to the bullpen. Or maybe the Blue Jays make a trade for a starting pitcher. And when Aaron Sanchez comes back, he goes to the bullpen to bolster and to kill two birds with one stone. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. The Maple Leafs have made another trade, and we'll see if we can get the announcement of that for you from our Sportsnet NHL draft action. Very interesting night for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the draft. In case you missed it, they took skill center Mitch Marner from the London Knights with the 4th overall pick after the Arizona Coyotes took Dylan Strome with number 3. I don't need to tell you who went 1-2. Back to the phones now. Dave in Toronto, you're next on Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Mike, thanks for taking my call. Got a few things for you tonight, but I'll keep each of them brief. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts. The first, Angel Hernandez behind the plate tonight, umpiring the game. We've seen him once or twice before this season, known to be one of the, let's just say, less strong, less capable umpires in the league. So I want to challenge you a little bit, a risk as that might be, being the guy that you are. But I know that you are, you know, a proponent of, you know, getting rid of umpires, or maybe not altogether, but at least the guy behind the plate and letting pitch track do its work, tell us what's a ball and what's a strike. But you're also a guy who supports, you know, catchers who know how to receive a ball well. And, you know, I was at the game tonight, so I couldn't see, you know, what pitch track was saying. But based on what you guys were saying on the radio, it sounded like Martin may have grabbed a few pitches for Burley or for the rest of the pitching staff later in the game, for that matter. So I guess my question is, you know, Angel Hernandez hurt us the last time we saw him here at home. Tonight, you know, we just heard Gibby say how he might have stolen a pitch from Travis late in the game. But I also think that Martin might have stolen a pitch or two here and there earlier in the game. So, you know, where do you side in that debate? You know, and I, like I said, I know where you stand on the umpire piece, but there's something to be said for a catcher who receives the ball well. And, you know, Joe Siddle talks a lot about that during the game. And, you know, whether it's Hernandez's, you know, shortcomings or Martin's strengths, I think they were both perhaps on display a little bit tonight. Your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that as long as human beings are calling balls and strikes, it behooves a team to have a catcher who is really good at receiving them and giving the umpire, whether it's giving the umpires a good look or pulling a ball back into the strike zone or however you want to say it. But if machines called balls and strikes as they're capable of, it wouldn't matter. Pitch framing and strike stealing wouldn't mean anything. And the truth of the matter is it shouldn't. A ball's a ball, a strike's a strike, and that's the way it ought to be, no matter who's umpiring or who's catching.
Cool. So Martin wins the day today in that category, at least.
But he does most days.
Yeah, no, very true. But, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is that when you've got a weaker umpire behind the plate, a guy like Martin helps you that much more, right?
I don't necessarily know if that's true.
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially, sure.
Yeah. Two more. The last one's really quick. But the last caller kind of got me going as I was listening about, you know, different parks in the Major League. Safeco is one that I've never been to. I personally have a tradition with my dad. We go to a different ballpark every year. We've been doing it for the last 19 years, been, you know, to more than half the parks in the Major Leagues. So as a guy who's, you know, presumably been to a whole whack of them, I'd be really curious to hear your personal top three.
That's an interesting thought. Give me a second to think about it, Dave, and I'm going to let you go here because we've got a lot of people waiting. So my personal top three visiting ballparks to visit. I don't know that if I've got a top three. In fact, I know I haven't been to Wrigley Field yet, which I would really, really like to see. But just looking down the list of where I've been, I mean, Fenway Park for the history, obviously. I loved Kansas City. I really like U.S. Cellular Field. I know that's an unpopular opinion to hold, but I do. I think it's cool. Safeco Field in Seattle is just absolutely fantastic. AT&T in San Francisco, Petco in San Diego are phenomenal ballparks. PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Those are the ones that jump out to me as far as visiting ballparks. Blue Jays, 12. Rangers, 2. Let's go to Dan in Toronto listening on our flagship station, because that's where we're on now. You're on Jay's Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, this year, obviously, you know, our hitting is just unbelievable. Do you think it's just a different approach at the plate? Do you think it's just that all of these guys that we got, like a Colabello who came out of nowhere, is panning out? Devin Travis is panning out. Donaldson, we knew, was going to be good. I don't think anybody knew he was going to be this good, that we could get him for Lurie. Or do you think it's potentially, it sounds a little weird, but it seemed almost last year there was, the clubhouse just seemed a little dysfunctional. Maybe it was guys like Lowry and our center fielder, whose name is escaping me right now. Do you think it's losing those guys and getting like veterans like Martin in and Donaldson, or is it the hitting coach?
No, I think it's replacing hitters with hitters who are better than they are. I think it really is that simple. Russ Martin is a better hitter than Deonor Navarro. Josh Donaldson is a much better hitter than Brett Lurie. Devin Travis is a much better hitter than Ryan Goins. Chris Colabello has been just stupid this year since he got here, which is amazing. Kevin Pillar is doing a much better job than Colby Rasmus did in center field last year. Really, that's what it is. You should have expected Josh Donaldson to be this good, because he's been this good the last couple of years, playing in a ballpark where it's nearly impossible to hit for power. This is a team with a fantastic offense, and it is because of the hitters that they have. There's no need to look for anything else. No need to try to dig up a reason like a change in approach or a hitting coach or clubhouse atmosphere. The truth of the matter is these guys are really, really, really good hitters, and they're getting the job done. Huge.
So that kind of brings me to my second point. I've actually called in before, and we've talked about Rogers opening up the purse strings. If things keep on going the way they are, obviously when teams realize that they're not in it anymore and that they might want to trade their kind of big free agent pitchers who are coming up, if we don't go after those guys, will that just be proof that Rogers refuses to open up further purse strings to go get a star starting pitcher? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
The only way that that would be proof is if we knew what the asks were and whether or not, you know, it was just money that was standing in the way. Last year, I remember people falling all over themselves to scream and yell, how could the Blue Jays not get Jeff Samardzija? Well, the Chicago Cubs, sorry, he's been on 17 teams since then, but the Chicago Cubs wanted Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez for Jeff Samardzija. Would you have done that? No, regardless of the money that's coming back. The asks were ridiculous. John Lester, yeah, he got traded to Oakland. The A's, or the Red Sox were asking for Jose Bautista. Is that a trade we would have made? No. So it wasn't that, you know, and I went over this last year, it wasn't that the purse strings were sealed shut or pulled shut to seal the purse shut, however strings and purses work. It was that there wasn't a deal out there that would have drastically improved the Blue Jays at a price that they were willing to pay. I mean, yeah, maybe they could have gotten Martin Prado. Great, they could have gotten Martin Prado. Would that have won them a playoff spot? No. This year, we'll see. We are told, we are led to believe that the Blue Jays have money, a war chest of some sort. Don't know how much it is. But everything operates within a budget, and there's no salary cap in baseball, but every team has a budget, and it's way easier for an individual owner to go say, all right, you know what, let's do this. Just go, we got a chance, blow the doors off, than it is for a corporation. And that's part of the deal of corporate ownership. Paul Beeson keeps saying Rogers has never said no. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what's available when we get close to the trade deadline and what the Blue Jays do. And again, unless we know the ask, and we got a lot of people who are very good at finding out what those asks are, we won't know whether it's only money that has kept the Blue Jays from making a deal. I don't expect that will be the case this year. I told you the Toronto Maple Leafs made a trade earlier tonight. They took their 24th overall pick and turned it into the 29th and the 61st, which is the first pick of the third round. And they had the 29th. They traded that too. Let's go to Sunrise, Florida, and hear the announcement from moments ago.
We have a trade. Toronto trades the next selection, number 29, to the Columbus Blue Jackets for picks number 34 and 68. 29 for 34 and 68.
So there's Gary Bettman with the announcement. So the Maple Leafs basically trade the 24th overall pick to move down 10 spots and pick up two of the first eight picks in the third round. So they trade 24 for 34, 61, and 68 in a couple of trades with the Philadelphia Flyers and the Columbus Blue Jackets. And they will make that 34th pick tomorrow when the NHL draft continues. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Mike in Niagara Falls. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
All right, thanks. Hey, go ahead.
Just a little bit on the lighter side, Mike. Grew up in the early 60s, a Yankee fan, because we didn't have a team here. I'm from Niagara Falls, and we got the odd Yankee game. And I'd heard the term murderer's row my whole life.
Yep.
And it's kind of scary, you know, like murderer's row. And I saw a few black and white film reel of who they were. I can't remember. My computer's down, so you could fill in the blanks. But
Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth.
Luke, oh, thank you very much.
But Tony Lazzari.
This lineup makes murderer's row look like juvenile delinquents.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You know what? I've heard it compared my whole life. When the team's had a couple good, real good power hitters, we've got five or six of them. It's more than a row.
The Blue Jays have a wonderful, wonderful offensive team. It's probably the best offense I've ever seen in my life. Murderer's Row, the 27 Yankees scored 6.3 runs a game.
Well, we could beat that. But
they're at about 5.5 right now.
One other quick comment, Mike.
Yeah.
I love nicknames. Baseball's growing up, I had some of the greatest. And my all-time favorite was Oil Can Boyd. And guess what? It's like my wish been granted again.
I'm not calling Matt Boyd Oil Can.
No, I know, but is that a great nickname?
That was a great nickname.
Okay,
that was.
Well, thanks very much, and you enjoy the rest of the evening.
All right, thank you. Dennis Oil Can Boyd for the Boston Red Sox, mostly in the 80s. Good nickname, for sure. Good nickname. My favorite nickname was Death to Flying Things, and that was a pre-20th century outfielder. Bob Ferguson, I guess, was an infielder who played before the modern era. And as I'm looking him up right here, his nickname was Death to Flying Things, which is my favorite. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We will get to more of your calls on the other side. We're going to take a break in a minute. But first, let's hear from Russell Martin, who was 1-for-2 today. He homered, he walked, he had a sacrifice fly, a couple of RBIs, caught a gem from Mark Burley as the Blue Jays beat the Rangers 12-2. Here's Russ Martin right after the game with Sportsnet's Barry Davis.
Russell, before we talk about the Blue Jays offense, I got to ask you, how much fun is it to catch Burley, especially after having to catch Dickey? And, you know, it's kind of tough doing that.
Burley's a pleasure to work with. He works fast, has great command, enjoy his tempo out there. I think the guys playing behind him enjoy it too. Keeps you in the game, and when he pitches, we have quick games.
You guys have such a loaded lineup, 1-9, especially now with Devin back. When you fall behind 1-0 in the first, the feeling must be, we're going to get this back. It's going to take a lot more than one to win this ball game.
Oh, definitely. I feel like we've been swinging the bats good all year, but now it looks like we're rolling on all cylinders. It's one professional at bat after the other, and it's 1-9. And we just showed it tonight, just another night at the ballpark for us, just having good ABs and feeding off one another and making stuff happen.
Take us through your home run.
Was just looking for a pitch, over the middle of the plate, and I were actually earlier today I worked on just staying inside the baseball. I feel like I was getting a little pull happy, and it was just a fastball. I think it was over the heart of the plate. Took a good pass at it and hit it out to right field.
Are you guys going to give Danny a hard time for getting his homer off a position guy?
Yeah, we give him like a half silent treatment, and Danny doesn't like when we joke with him too much, but I think he had a good laugh. He had a homer. He was happy.
All right, listen, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, Danny Valencia hit a home run off of Adam Rosales. Valencia and every Blue Jay that came to bat in the eighth inning in an absolute no-win situation. When you've got a position player on the mound, you are expected to get a hit. And if you did, well, you know what? You got a hit off a position player. And if you don't, a position player got you out. It's a really tough place to be. Valencia was the only Blue Jay to get a hit. And Adam Rosales had the lowest ERA of any of the Texas Rangers pitchers tonight. He gave up a run in an inning. Ross Detweiler gave up two runs in one inning for an ERA of 18. Nick Martinez, almost did it again, Nick Martinez gave up 8 earned runs in 6 innings for an ERA of... Why do I try to do math in my head? It's 8, 72, 6, a lot, an ERA of a lot, 12. For the ball game, 12 for Nick Martinez, and Adam Rosales had an ERA of 9. So congratulations to him. More your calls on the other side. Blue Jays beat the Rangers 12-2. It's Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
Lines one deep to left field. That one's up, and there she goes off Rosales. Home run, Danny Valencia, his fourth, to make it 12-2 Blue Jays as he punishes Texas.
Danny Valencia with a pinch hit home run, Blue Jays' second pinch hit home run of the season. And just to put a nice little cherry on top of the evening, 12-2, the Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers, first of a three-game series, seven-game homestand. The Boston Red Sox will be in town next. And the Boston Red Sox did the Blue Jays a favor tonight. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3 in 10 innings, and that means that the Blue Jays and Baltimore Orioles are now one game out of first place in the American League East. Right now in a three-way tie for second with the New York Yankees, but that's not going to last because the Yankees are playing. So they're going to move a half game one way or another. And the Yankees just got three in the top of the seventh off of the Houston Astros to take a 3-2 lead. Chris Young with a three-run homer off of Will Harris, who's having an incredible year out of that Astros bullpen. So the Yankees lead the Astros 3-2. They are in the bottom of the seventh inning in Houston. If New York holds on to win, the Yanks will be a half game out of first. If they lose, they'll be a game and a half back. Regardless, the Blue Jays and Baltimore Orioles are one game behind the first place Tampa Bay Rays in the American League East. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. Taking your calls till 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Roger Lajoie will then take over for Sportsnet tonight. And I'll have everything you need to know about the first round of the NHL draft. Let's go to Bert in Peterborough. Hey, Bert.
Hey, Mike. How's it going? I have a concern and a quick baseball question. First of all, I was Mark Burley's pitching really good right now, and it seemed like he did the same thing last year, and I think he had the year before, and then he faded down the stretch. I don't want to put a damper on, a great pitching performance, especially the last, 10 starts that he's had. But and I don't think you can probably get much for him to trade him, which I'm not, suggesting that we should trade him. He can probably go down the list as a fourth or fifth starter, or third or fourth, fifth starter, or whatever. But that is a concern that he does fade down the stretch, right?
No, no. Last year he got off to a really good start in April and May, and then kind of got tripped up. The next little while, but he was terrific in September. He made 5 starts in September and allowed 39 base runners in 35 innings and had an ERA of 2.83. So no, it's not.
Okay, so then it was just a win and loss record type thing that happened. I guess he didn't get I think he went for quite a few starts without getting a victory last year.
That doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah, I know. You don't believe in victories,
no,
and I agree
it's
with
not
you.
True. Yeah,
to a point, right?
No.
He went to a bunch of starts, so like 11 or 12 without a victory.
Not his fault.
Okay. Anyways, and my quick question is, how they have the seventh inning stretch, right?
Uh-huh.
But sometimes during the first inning or second inning, in the middle of the count, you'll hear them say the stretch, the stretch pitch. Like, what does that mean?
A pitcher means the pitcher is in a stretch position when there's the windup and then there's the stretch. And when there's nobody on base, most pitchers pitch from the windup. And when they're pitching from the stretch, that would be starting with one foot, with the back foot on the rubber, and coming to a full stop with their hands before delivering a pitch. That's called the stretch position.
Okay. Thanks very much, Mike.
All right. Happy to enlighten. No problem. Appreciate the call. Mark Burley did get off to that tremendous start last year, but again, September was one of his best months last season. And in 2013, I don't especially remember him fading at the end. I'm going to take a look at the numbers now, what he did month to month. Yeah, September was his worst month in his first season with the Blue Jays, but in July and August, he had an ERA of about 273, 272. So I wouldn't worry. I mean, that's a very Toronto call right there. This guy's pitching really well, but he probably doesn't have much trade value and he's going to fall apart late in the season. Let's go to Mike in Toronto. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. With all this talk about the need for pitching, I just wanted to ask about Marcus Stroman, because he has said he wants to come back in September or maybe the playoffs.
Definitely.
Regardless of what Anthopoulos may or may not do in terms of trades, if he's ready to go, where do you think the organization views him in terms of rotation or bullpen?
And bullpen.
What would you do?
Bullpen. And Marcus and I kind of had a little Twitter back and forth while he was in while the Blue Jays were in Florida. Somebody asked me if Stroman comes back. The same question. If Stroman's able to make it back this year, do you put him in the rotation or do you put him in the bullpen? And I said, I really don't believe that the scenario exists where Marcus Stroman will be able to come back and start. And Stroman kind of he answered that tweet with something like, don't put it past me, or height doesn't measure heart, and all that stuff. And I believe that he believes that he can come back and be a big piece of this team. And I think he will be a big piece of this team if he can come back this year. But I think it's a lot to ask to come back stretched out enough to be a 100 to 110 pitch guy and to be a starting pitcher. You could have him back a lot sooner as a reliever, and he could have a tremendous effect on this team late in games as a reliever. So I honestly believe that if Marcus Stroman comes back, he comes back out of the bullpen. And it's a big if. But he's one guy that I would never say never with.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate the insight.
All right, thank you. Blue Jays, 12. Texas Rangers, 2. The Jays are just a game out of first place right now in the American League East. They are the fourth team in the American League to get to 40 wins. And the New York Yankees may be following them. The Minnesota Twins are not going to follow them. The Minnesota Twins went into tonight with 39 wins but gave up 10 runs to the Milwaukee Brewers in the first two innings. And they managed to hold it there, so congratulations to them, but they're down 10-4 as they play in the eighth. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Al in Toronto. You're on Jay's Talk, Al.
Yeah. How are you, Mike? Edwin's grand slam got the Jays off to the launch pad. And Burley could have pitched from a rocking chair tonight. What a hitting team. They're better than the 2006 or the 1993 Jays. And except for the 82 Brewers and possibly the 95 Indians, I can't for the life of me think of a better hitting team. They're going to score over 900 runs this year, and the last time that happened was in 2009 when the Yanks got over 900 runs, and you saw what happened there. They won the World Series, and I'm not getting any foolish notion, but I am mighty encouraged with this hitting team. It's fantastic, isn't it?
It is. It's unlike anything I've ever seen here. It's an amazing offense.
I wanted to talk to you about the June 14th game in Fenway Park. You were there.
Yes.
And there was a lot of difficulty with that sun. Are you sympathetic when a fielder loses a ball in the sun, or are you critical? I'm critical because you have to play it off to the side. You have to run about 10 or 15 feet on either side, and I can't think of any excuse. I know that they're not charged with an error. The scorer doesn't charge them with an error, but are you sympathetic or are you critical when somebody loses a ball in the sun, or the lights for that matter?
I am not critical ever of someone losing a ball in the sun or in the lights. I think, you know, and we saw Jose Bautista, I think it was that game, try to approach it just like you suggested, coming, turning his body at an angle, coming from the side and trying to change his angle to get the sun out of his eyes, and he still couldn't catch a ball. I believe that if you look up and the sun is in the right spot and you're just screwed. And there's nothing you can do. So I will never be critical of someone who loses a ball in the sun. I firmly believe that a lot of the times there's absolutely nothing you can do.
But the lights is a little bit of a different situation.
Not necessarily. If it gets in the right spot, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's dumb luck is what it is.
And did you enjoy yourself at Fenway Park? Do they still have that that section, they still have that red seat in straightaway right field. It's a red seat where Ted Williams hit that 502-foot home run.
Yes, they do. And, Fenway Park's a lot of fun. I do like it there. I know a lot of people call it a rat-infested hole. but I like it. There's a tremendous amount of history, and you look out onto that field, and you see, you know, that's the same field that Babe Ruth played on, Ty Cobb played on, that all of that did. All the greatest players in the history of the game played there, and that's really something. And I'm a big fan of Boston anyway. I have family there, so it's always great for me to go to Boston at Fenway Park. And I put Fenway on my list of the best ballparks that I've been to. It's a lot of fun out there. And the Blue Jays will be back at Fenway Park in September when the Jays finish off the season pretty much against the AL East from September 4th on. They only have 3 games outside the division. They've been to Fenway twice already this year. Last time, that series that you were talking about, they swept them, and they are 4-2 against the Red Sox at Fenway Park this season. They beat the Texas Rangers today. 12-2 was the final score. Edwin Encarnacion with 2 home runs, including a first-inning grand slam. Damon is in Brampton. You're up next on Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike. It's actually Gaiman with a G, and I'm in Toronto now. Nevertheless, you know, I just wanted to talk to some of these fans. Like, you know, I'm sure you've played baseball because I can tell the way you answer, but we have a great team this year. We can battle against anybody at any time, and I think people should actually sit back and enjoy it and praise some of these players instead of being so critical. I think Toronto fans in general need to give their heads a shake. Like a guy like Phil Kessel, you know, we criticize, but he's just naturally good, but we criticize stuff. And same with the Blue Jays. So I'm all for this team. We have the great guys like Encarnacion and Batista, and people talk about trading them. Like, oh, give your heads a shake. These guys, top 5 right-handed hitters. I can go on forever, Mike, about this team, but I think just fans need to enjoy themselves and enjoy that we have a team that can battle with anybody. Thanks
All
for
right.
your time, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. You're right. But that's, you know, that's what we do in Toronto. This guy's really good. Let's see what we can get for him. You know, people, and it's because this year hasn't happened in so long. Everything's been about next year, next year, next year, next year, forever. And it's been 20 years, 22 for the Blue Jays since they've been in the playoffs. The Maple Leafs have been in the playoffs, well, been out of the playoffs for a decade when the NHL plays a full season. And that's something that's really next to impossible to do in a league in which half the teams make the playoffs, to miss the playoffs for 10 years. That's what the Maple Leafs have done. The one year they did get in was the strike-shortened season, or the lockout-shortened season. And the Raptors, last couple of years have been nice, but they've gotten knocked out in the first round. And before that, a long famine as well. So I really think that a lot of Toronto fans don't quite know how to follow a legitimate contending team. And hopefully this Blue Jays team gives you that opportunity to learn how to do it again. Because this team is a legitimate contender. They're a game out of first place in the American League East right now. And they're 17-6 in the month of June, which is kind of nuts. They're 2 wins away from the club record with 4 games to play. John in Milton. Hey, John. Oh, sorry. Joseph in Ottawa. Pardon me.
It's
Oshawa.
Oshawa.
I'll get it one of these days. I'm sorry.
It's okay, Mike. Mike, I just wanted to clarify something for me, a rule.
Yeah.
There was a game recently in which Navarro was catching and Martin was DHing.
Okay.
It was late in the game, and I was concerned that Navarro... They had a man on, I think it was against Tampa. They had a man on, and Navarro hasn't got nearly as good an arm for throwing runners out.
Correct.
So I was thinking maybe they should have switched Martin for Navarro. Could they do that, though?
Yes. but you can't switch them. Like, you can't say, all right, Martin's going to catch and now Navarro's going to DH. You can take your DH and put him in the field, which would have been what would have happened there, but then the pitcher would have to hit in the position vacated by the player who comes out of the game. So if, let's say, Russ Martin's hitting sixth and Deonor Navarro is hitting fifth and Martin's the DH and Navarro's a catcher, if you want Martin to catch, then he's the catcher, but all of a sudden the pitcher has to hit fifth.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mike.
All right.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Joe Maddon used to do that all the time when he was a manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. A few times it bit him because Joe Maddon would get too cute for his own good every once in a while. But it's rare to see, but it is something that you can do. You just have to weigh the consequences of having to have a pitcher in the lineup. Now, John in Milton, sorry about that.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. Scared you, I know. But go ahead right now.
No worries. It's Friday. I just wanted to respond to one of the last callers saying how we need to have some more faith in this team and how that's how Toronto is and everything. And that is sort of correct. However, it's also our job to analyze, and or your job and my job to call in.
Right.
And we saw this last year in the month of May where this team offense is living up to its potential, and they looked like they could beat absolutely anybody. And then what happened? Later in the season, when fatigue gets in, post-All-Star break, weaknesses come out.
That had nothing to do with fatigue, though. You honestly believe that was just
fatigue
and the flaws that didn't show up in June showing up in July and August?
Well, weaknesses come out in a full season is my point.
Well, but except that you remember what happened last year, right? Where the 4, 5, 6 hitters on this team were all injured for 6 weeks at the same time. That's not flaws showing and fatigue coming out. That's devastation that, you know, a team falls off the map from. And this team still finished just 5 games out of a playoff spot.
I just think in the course of an entire season, the bats can't stay this way. Even though I have all the faith in this team, I really do think they're a contender. But I really think Anthopoulos needs to get a starting pitcher and maybe a bullpen guy just to put everybody back in their natural position. With that, I have all the faith.
Who's not in their natural position right now?
Well, I don't think Cecil should be in the ninth inning. I don't think he looks comfortable, but he was a dominant pitcher in the eighth inning.
He's not the closer anymore, though. So he's back in his natural position now. And even with him out of his natural position, as you say, they're a game out of first place. Right? It's. I know what you're saying. I do. But I think, and again, you're not alone in this. I think you're sort of looking for reasons to be fatalistic about this team because it has disappointed you so many times before. And I don't begrudge anybody the idea that the Blue Jays have disappointed you in the past. They have, just like every other team in this city. But this team isn't last year's team, and this team isn't the year before's team, and this isn't the 1999 team, and it's not the 2004 team. This is a different collection of individuals with different strengths and weaknesses. This is, I believe, the best offense that this team has ever assembled and one of the best offenses in the history of the game. And I don't think they're going to fall off. Now, if guys start getting hurt and in bunches for extended periods of time, then you got a problem. But until then, I don't think you need to look for ways that they're going to fall off.
I think they're one pitching injury away from needing that other arm. And I don't think they should get rid of Edwin, as some people are proposing, but I really do think that they need to find a way to get one more arm, and I think that would really assure us the best possible shot to finally get back in the playoffs and bring the city some life in terms of baseball.
I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. I think that, you know, when you talk about their one pitching injury away, well, they've already lost two starting pitchers, right? Marcus Stroman is gone and Aaron Sanchez is on the DL. So, yeah, they're one starting pitching injury away from being in trouble. Sure, but who isn't when you lose three guys out of your rotation? I do think they're working on adding. I don't think anything assures you, but I think whether they get one or not, they're in really, really, really good shape. I appreciate the call, John, and I appreciate all the calls. I apologize to those of you to whom we could not get, but I want to get to this before we go. Mark Burley, the winning pitcher today, 7 strong innings, gives up 2 runs as the Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 12-2. Here's what Burley had to say in the wake of today's victory.
Mark, there are nights where it looks really easy watching you. Was this one of those nights where you really had to kind of battle, especially early on?
I mean, it was, but you get
10 runs scored for you, 10-plus runs, it's makes it a lot easier. You can go out there, and if you know, if you make a mistake and they hit it out of the park or they get on base, it's not the end of the world. So definitely makes it easier to pitch, getting runs, and joke around with these guys and tell them I've never lost with 10-plus runs scored for me. So every time we get to, like, 7 or 8, I say, hey, I never lost with 10, so score a couple more.
Are you guys just getting used to these long innings in between, you know? Like, you probably throw a bullpen while your team's batting sometimes.
I mean, yeah, you like them, but at the same time, you just come in here and try to stay loose, get on the bike, just do whatever you can to try to stay sweating. So cool nights like it was tonight. I mean, I try to do everything I can. I don't like to go back out for the next inning and not be sweating, so I try to do whatever I can just to stay loose.
Mark, what does this offense rank with some of the other ones you've played with over the years?
It's pretty much up there. I mean, again, we can go out there and, you know, we're going to get shut down every once in a while, but at the same time, we can score 5 or 6 runs every inning. So, I mean, it's 1 through 9. We're pretty deep right now, and it's fun. I mean, again, starting pitchers, you just try to, if you get up some runs early in the game, you just try to throw up some zeros because you know we're going to battle back and we're going to get some runs.
Mark, we've asked you this a couple times over the course of the season, but as you're watching this team progress and kind of come together, pieces fall into line, what more and more do you kind of makes you think that this team's got a chance to do something good with this season?
Just because we're winning each day and gets one day closer to the end of the season, we're still winning and we haven't fallen apart. Again, we got the pieces in here, and I said this even when we were terrible. I felt like we had the pieces in this clubhouse to get to the playoffs. So we just got to keep on battling. Obviously, it helps with the offense putting up the runs. But again, when the offense ain't scoring runs, the pitching staff has to hold them down and try to win some low-scoring games. So I can't see into the future, but as far as I can tell, what's in here and the chances of us going to where we want to go, I like our chances.
Mark, you got a rookie lefty making his debut tomorrow in Matt Boyd. What would your advice be to him if you had a chance to talk to him before the game?
Just try not to get too nervous. Just kind of relax and do what you've done to get here. I don't know if I'll talk to him too much tomorrow. Obviously, being start day, I don't know. Certain guys are weird about that. But just say, hey, you know, obviously you've done something this year and last year to get to this point in your career, so don't go out there and try to do too much. Just try to stay focused and do what you've done to get here. Don't overthrow and just do what you've done.
That's good advice for Matt Boyd, and Matt Boyd is going to make his major league debut tomorrow as the Blue Jays continue this series against the Texas Rangers. The Jays try and stay hot. They have won 17 of their last 22 games. Boyd started the season in Double A, did a fantastic job. 6-1 with an ERA of 1.10, then made 2 starts with the Buffalo Bisons, and in 12 innings gave up 3 runs on 12 hits with 2 walks and 12 strikeouts. He was a 6th-round pick of the Blue Jays in 2013, a 24-year-old lefty. Jays took him to Montreal, and he threw an inning in one of those spring training games, and he's making his major league debut tomorrow. We're on at 12:30. First pitch is 1:07. Join us then!